Ding, ding, ding. Round two starts, and Tyson comes out with a left hook. Oh, my God, and Frazier goes down. Frazier goes down. What's going on, everybody? Yo, we got round two coming at you with sitting, sidelines, sideline sitting, shitting, getting, throwing, fitting. I don't even know what I'm doing here. But we got round two with Big Brother D. Gonna come at y'all with some more hilarity. Gonna come at y'all with some more sideways. You know, I think, honestly, this one, I think we had a little bit more. There's some more motivational stuff in there. Just a little bit more motivational stuff. Stuff that actually kind of, I mean, it made me feel like I wanted to get up and go do something. So I got up and went and used the bathroom. And that was it. But for real, I had a good time. This one was fun. So I hope you guys enjoy. Later! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another brand new episode of Irritable Motherfucking Mouse.
Another one.
It's actually, what are we going to call this like a sideline? What did I call it the last time? Sideshow sit downs with Sean.
That's right.
That's, I mean,
that was the one.
That's it. So we're back
here.
It's
going to catch on. It's going to catch
on. No, it's not. It's, I don't know. But yeah, so we're here with Bubbles again. Oh, Bubba D.
Hello. Big D. What's up? What's up?
As the ladies know him on the streets, Big D. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But they really do. So what's up, man? What's going on? What we got on the agenda for today?
I don't know. I mean, we can kind of discuss some of the events that transpired, just recently since our last podcast, which technically, when did we record that? We recorded it like 2 days ago, so Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the day before last.
So Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we got this one today. So in between that, pretty much, I did some stand-up. Did some stand-up last night. And it went well. Personally, I think it could have... I wanted to go better. I mean, and I think that's kind of something that, like, typically, in anything that you do, you want it to go as well as possible. Like, as good as possible. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, personally, yeah, I definitely wanted it to go a lot better. And I thought that it was going to be... I thought it was going to be pretty good. And I had everything planned out, and I was going to run pretty much the same set that I did the last time with a few minor details switched up because I wanted to add some more stuff. So, like, I was just taking what I had, and I was building on it, and I was trying to, you know, let it flow.
Yeah, right.
Man, the biggest thing that sucked it up for me was the nerves got to me because a lot of people that I knew showed up. And for the first time, my wife actually came out. I don't know whether I couldn't tell you what it was that made it worse for me. You know, I'm glad she came out. I'm glad everybody came out and supported, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt.
But, I was just really surprised that, it hit me like that. And it's not like I did a horrible, I don't know. I mean, you saw it.
I saw it and I was there. I caught the end.
You caught the end. So you saw the reactions.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
The reactions were definitely not where you wanted them to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, whenever I was watching your video, I know that I could definitely tell that you're nervous.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard not to be. It's just like what we were talking about the other day about, you know, fighting and going to the arena and, you know, your adrenaline's, you know, it's up there. And it's really hard to stay tuned into to the fact with you know you're doing like a mental battle right here, right?
Yeah.
That's you focusing in on all the bits that you have made out with fighting, you know, and there's that physical aspect of it where you actually don't have to do anything too mental, but your body has to put out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that adrenaline gets to you for sure.
I think it also
I think really what it was is that, like, I wanted it to be perfect. And because, like, the jokes are there. I have good stuff. I have good material.
Yeah, no doubt.
As long as I'm able to perform it. Right. And...
Well, let's hear one now.
Let's get a bit. Did you hear the one about the...
About your mother.
No. Did you hear the one about the mailman?
No.
No, you probably didn't. I hear it pushes the envelope.
Damn. Damn.
You know, it's funny because I actually... It's obviously cheesy. It's not like a real joke that I have, but
I feel like some dad jokes can definitely kill, though.
Yeah, for sure. The awkwardness of it. I think it's I think where it lies is in the performance.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like that I think delivery. Part of why some of it didn't fail, or some of it kind of didn't hit where I wanted it to. And you say that it definitely didn't get the reactions that I wanted. I mean, I still got good reactions, right? Like, I didn't bomb. I didn't completely eat a bag of dicks.
Yeah, I wasn't completely silent.
But, I mean, it went well for what I did. I don't know. I think just, like I said, the performance is really, like, as long as you believe in it and you're selling it, people believe it and they enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard whenever you're nervous to buy into anything other than this guy being nervous.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, I think it all goes back to your bit about the mailman, because you got to deliver. You got to deliver right.
Oh, damn. You know,
is that a joke recall right there?
Nailed it. It's what's called a callback.
Callback
joke.
Yeah,
you're taking something from the past. But typically what it is like a callback, like a really good callback is like something that it's like the line that you use. So you use a punchline. You're like, it pushes the envelope. And then like later on down the road, you slide in unbeknownst to the crowd. You still slide it in and be like, it pushes the envelope and then it just kills.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, that's kind of,
yeah,
to me, like those are the best really kind of, like, I love callback jokes. I have quite a few of them. But like, I also, the callback jokes that I have, they're not exactly set up like that.
Yeah.
To where, you know, it's calling back the punchline. It's calling back the premise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's still technically in that realm, but I don't know. I think, how about you last night?
My experience?
Other than your experience in general, other than obviously you missed my deal,
yeah,
except for the end, which the end. How do you feel about that that closer?
The closer, I love it. I love the closer. It wasn't, you know, delivered properly and like how you wanted it to. I mean, with me, like, you know, I like to critique you and also, you know, inspire
keep it real.
You. And,
keep it real.
Yeah, but I also got to definitely keep it real.
Yeah.
Always. They don't call me Keep It Real Dan for nothing.
The real deal Dan Yill.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, that was bad.
Nah, dude, nailed it. But yeah, that closer, man, I mean, it's definitely, it's got a lot of potential. I feel like it's just, you know, it just needs to deliver that performance. Whenever you're closing it, you know, it's really got to be hyped up, you know, and you just have to hit those angles, man. You got to hit those angles just right to where, you know, it kills.
Yeah, I think you know, for me, what's crazy is because that material that I used previously. And it, like, I literally got a standing ovation for it. So,
yeah, nice.
But the biggest difference was I didn't have a lot of people there. And, yeah, like, not even in the back of my head, like, right before I went on stage, I was like, if I fucking bomb, I fucking bomb.
Right, right.
And I'm just going to go up here. I know what I'm going to say, you know, and I just let loose. I feel like I didn't have to think that much about it, and I just let it flow. To me, that's whenever I feel the most in pocket. Is whenever I'm just letting it flow.
Right, right.
But aside from that, man.
So we talked about the past and, you know, your experience with it, and your kind of downfalls, but what about the future? What's that looking like? How can you critique yourself to make your performance as optimal as it can be?
Okay, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty of what's going on here. So that way the audience can kind of understand. So us talking and doing this stuff a little bit, this is kind of like an inside with like what kind of Daniel does as a trainer. You know, this is the personal aspect of stuff that he kind of gets with. So like making you, it's almost kind of, it's a little bit like therapy, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I've even got my pen and paper right here.
Yeah,
for sure, man. It really is. And it can be, you know, training how I train, you know, it can be used for that, because a lot of people do need that, that type of person that's emotional and, you know, can really help you out with, you know, some stuff outside the gym, right. You know, like, but that's just, that's a completely different thing, but, you know, definitely a therapist for sure.
Yeah.
And also, you know, really just getting you to the next level. Like that's kind of what I'm about. It's more of what I'm about than anything, you know, especially with, you know, how well your body is performing. And
it's kind of like almost like, and I'm sorry to interject here, but it's kind of almost like being a really good gym partner. You know what I mean? I think, and that kind of goes back to stuff that me and you have done in the past. Like, I've always tried to be that for you.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a way that's kind of, I mean, you're kind of doing it for me in a different sense now. Mm-hmm. And that stuff that we've kind of grown up doing, you know, where you are taking that and, you know, spreading it out to the people,
right.
You know, to your clients, to your, you know, people, just even people in general. I saw today, you know, you were talking to so many people. Honestly, I was just like, dude, we're trying to do stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was on the phone a lot too, but, I was like, man, he's. You know, he's all over the place trying to, you know, definitely give inspiration to the people that he sees on a normal basis. So even if you don't really go to him for the training, just being up there in his environment, I think definitely helps, because he's seen a lot of people and he talks to a lot of people. He definitely wants what's best for you in the sense of, like, why you're there.
Right.
You know, you show up, you pay a premium or you pay money anyway, and, you know, he wants you to get the best of what you're paying for.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, one of my biggest things is, you know, whenever I encounter people and actually get the time to talk to people, I try to really slow down, because I used to be fast paced, you know, I just wanted to go, and I wasn't given enough time to really get to know somebody. And I feel like, you know, cause whenever somebody comes in the door, they're just, you know, we always greet them, you know, hey, how are you doing? But if I actually, like, you know, chilled out for a little bit and got to know them just a little bit more, you know, they are eventually going to come to me for advice or any type of advice whenever it comes to fitness, for sure.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's been seen. And, you know, so that's one of my biggest things. And I want people to come up and look for that advice, you know, in me. Because I, you know, I got it. I got it for day. I got bro tips for days.
Well, I had a bro tip for you today. And I stuck it right in your head.
You get.
We did a little bit of rolling. we did some jiu-jitsu. Well, it was actually, kind of like light sparring, you know, moving around, tagging each other and, you know, just trying to show him. I was trying to show him different angles and how to approach certain stuff. And, you know, while we were sparring, I'd also kind of talk to him a little bit about stuff. But it was pretty funny, because then at one time I got him into a position. I cornered him pretty much. And then I took him down, and the way that I took him down, I landed on top of him. He was face down, ass up. That's the way I like to fight.
my hands were trapped under my body, and he was laying on top of me with his body. And I was totally compromised. There was literally nothing.
It was hilarious, because, like, after, like, while we were sitting there, Scott, our buddy Scott, was watching and laughing. And I was like, man, if people were watching this stuff go on, like, you know, just other third party. And there was a couple other people over there, but they weren't, you know, paying us no mind. But maybe a couple of them had some eyes over there, especially when I was deep up in them guts. Anyway, back to...
good stuff.
Back to the future of what I'm. What was the question again? You said something about
how. So how are you seeing your past and your experience with it in the recent show that you've had, how are you going to critique yourself and make yourself better?
Man, honestly,
from the next show, which is,
it's kind of, I honestly don't know. Like, I'm trying to get more. So today, actually, I've got a call in, try and get a spot for a competition. And hopefully, I don't know when the competition is, but hopefully it's in enough. It gives me enough time to really, I think the biggest thing is reps. You know what I'm saying? There's an old, actually, I don't even know if it's an old saying, like how old it is, but I think Bruce Lee said it. It's like, don't fear the man that, you know, knows 1,000 punches or 1,000 kicks or something like that. Fear the man who practices one kick or one punch 1,000 times.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so
yeah, mastering one thing, man. And that's honestly like what I've got written down is master one move, you know, so going in every day and practicing that move over and over and over.
Right, until I
completely master it. And that's kind of what my intentions are with jiu-jitsu and how I plan on getting better.
Yeah,
but with you, what are you thinking for next time? How are you gonna get better, or
man,
how do you feel?
Honestly,
it should go?
Like I said, personally for me, I think it was a good. So let's go back to this. I didn't bomb, you know what I'm saying? Didn't eat a bag of dicks, but to me, I was so upset with it. I was so upset because I didn't give the performance. There were people that showed up that wanted to see me. And, you know, they paid money to come in and see me. I wanted to give them a good performance. And I think because of that, it weighed on me so heavy that, like, I just went. I think next time I just need to find that zone. And I think me and you kind of talked on this before about getting into that zone. I don't know if we talked about it on the last one, but we've talked about it just in general of how I need to get into that zone. I felt like, you know, yesterday, so for me typically, like, as long as I'm having kind of like a good day and I'm feeling that energy, you know what I'm saying? That I don't know how to explain it, but I feel good. I feel like I'm just having fun. And as long as I'm having fun, I feel like in general people think I'm a funny person.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of I think that's kind of something that I need to realize is that even though people are there to seem like I can't put all that pressure on myself.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's kind of always going to be the thing, because whether someone I don't know comes, it's kind of like, you know, like it goes back to what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? As far as like being at the gym, even though you don't know this person, you're still trying to give them that welcome. You're still trying to give them your best.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that they come back and they want to see you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So a cat like you, I mean, you're definitely going to be your hardest critic. I mean, you know, even with the way that you're talking right now, you know, it's like you psych yourself out. And that I feel like that happens a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, dude, it even happens to me. And I psych myself out most of the time by overthinking stuff. And it's hard not to do that, especially whenever you're in that realm where you're about to go out and perform.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, you have to ground yourself in some sort of way, whether physically and mentally, to where you have clarity.
Yeah.
So you can.
You know what's funny? I wonder if
optimally.
I kind of feel like because even before you showed up, which I don't know if it would have helped, whether it, like if you showed up or whatever, and I would have saw you or something, but like because then that would have somewhat gave me a focal point because. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've told you some of the jokes that I used, and you know, I've performed them for you, not necessarily performed them for you, but I gave you, you know, a quick rundown and,
yeah,
you know,
and it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, and that came more naturally.
Yeah. So I think if I just had more of a, which, you know, I can't say because there was other people there. Our sister was there, you know, and I should have felt more in the zone felt more in the pocket. You know what I'm saying? I should have had that comfort level, but you know, and even before, you know, we've talked about, you told me before about some grounding exercises where, you know, you're laying there or standing and you kind of like stomp your heels or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I can't describe it. I would have to show it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I was just trying to focus myself, get ready. And I think also, I think I was too worried because there was a bit I was going to try and do. I wasn't able to do it. It was the opener.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, you even said it that, you know, I have really great openings.
Yeah, no doubt.
Great opening lines. And I think so far, I think that, you know, as long as I open well, for me, that's kind of one of the big things, too, is, like, I want the crowd to just get involved. I want people to, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's where I messed up last night, is that, like, yeah, I'm telling jokes and everything, or I'm making fun of whatever the situation, whatever the case is. But, like, the last time and the time before that, like, I got the crowd involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like if I get the crowd more involved, you know, I'm trying to pull you to my side. And then once I have you on my side, then I feel like let's go on this ride. Right. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think that might be something I look forward to next time is, you know, definitely getting the crowd. You know, a lot of comedians that I see, they do what's called crowd work, and they'll point someone out and they're like, hey man, you know, you're doing this and this and that and whatever. And, you know, it's funny, you know, it's really good and it really helps, because then it's not just like you're up there telling jokes to everybody. It almost feels individualized. It's like, yo, this guy, he pointed me out, this dude's hilarious, and, you know, he called me out for this and whatever. I did that. I've done that before. And, you know, and it's fun. You know, I definitely think it's fun, and I think it's funny. I think the crowd eats it up.
Yeah.
I think last night I don't even remember calling out to the crowd at all. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
There was a crowd reaction whenever I, you know, they saw my my frailty, or they saw my, you know, I'm telling you, I was so nervous. I literally told the crowd that I was so nervous, and like I was trying to gather my thoughts. I could not even gather. Yeah. Man, that was rough for me. I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, whenever I get into that spot where nothing's coming to me, you know what I'm saying? If you have dead air, you know what I'm saying? So, like, if we just stop talking right now.
Mm-hmm. Awkward.
Just that it's awkward. And then standing up on stage and people expect you to say something.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'd rather feel the air, even if I'm just letting you in on my vulnerability. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, man, I'm trying to gather myself and I can't do it. Even just letting in on myself. But the thing is I think that where I messed up too on that is that I should have poked fun of myself. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
obviously I'm having a hard ass time. You know, just poke fun at it, dude. Into that realm of having fun again.
Right.
You know, and I think that was hard, but
yeah. Well, whenever it comes to like calling people out, you know, I've always been scared of that. And
really?
My first time ever at any comedy club, which was the Looney Bin, I was right there up front and center with the comedians, and I was just like dead center with them. He was like two steps away, and I was that whole time. I was like, "Fuck, man, what if this guy calls me out?
Yeah,
I'm probably gonna piss my pants, man."
Yeah.
This is not cool. I definitely didn't want to sit there, but that didn't happen. The only thing that actually happened was he had a beer and he just set it on the table, and that was about it. And still, that's still kind of like, you know, got me nervous. Like, what is he gonna do now? Is he gonna get a shot for me? Do I get a shot for him? What the fuck? I have the tendency to overthink like that. But like I said, if I'm ever in the crowd and you see me and I'm close. Don't fucking call me out.
Dude, I'm going to call you out.
Oh, God.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you know this, but in the crowd tonight, we've got our very own Kermit the Frog. He's here.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. It's me.
No, that's a little insider. We, for the longest time, we worked with a couple of people that, you know, I guess whenever Daniel used to get drunk or whatever, and he'd have a little bit nasally tone to his voice or something, he would sound like Kermit, and so that was
kind of
a running joke.
Whenever I hear myself, like I totally hear it. And
really,
there's actually, yeah, I hate hearing myself talk. I really do. Like, especially whenever like a video's playing and I say something, I'm like, ugh, dude, it just kills me.
Yeah.
But there's also ways of making my voice deeper. I feel like so Elliot Hulse, he's one of the dudes that I kind of looked up to, and you know, watched a lot of his YouTube videos, and that's where I got that grounding method from, or exercise from. And the same thing goes with making your voice deeper, which, you know, basically I would have to do this. I'd have to put it in my routine to make an effort to do it every morning to actually feel the effects of it or change something.
Right.
Always going back to that daily routine. But it's just basically making resonating sounds with your
diaphragm or your larynx.
Your
larynx.
Yeah. And
I'm a vocal coach as well. No.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so I mean, you know, while we're doing these podcasts, you know, we'll probably look on them like a year later and be like, holy shit, Daniel's fucking voice is a lot deeper.
He grew up.
Like, god dang man. Yeah. But for Meow, you got Kermit, so
yeah. I really don't think, I mean, I think that goes back to just us critiquing ourselves. I think really we're so hard on ourselves because of how we excuse the fuck out of me. And I think we're so hard on ourselves because, like, growing up, I feel like we didn't, and I'm not trying to say this in like a negative way, but I feel like we didn't, me personally, I always felt like I was trying to get attention. And I did that through sports. I did that through everything that I did. You know, I was always the class clown. So, like, I feel that I was always trying just to get attention because, you know, maybe we weren't getting it at home or something. I don't know, which is kind of weird to think about because I don't really, as far as our youth, I don't really remember a whole lot about it.
Well, apparently it's traumatized you enough to the point to where you're always, like, hard on yourself. And, you know, really, man.
Oh, there it goes. I don't know if you guys heard it, but Daniel said, and, you know.
Yeah, whatever, man.
So,
I mean, life is hard enough, man. There's no reason why we should really be that hard on ourselves, you know, because it's, you know, give yourself a fucking break.
Yeah.
You know, you stop trying. Here's the
thing, though. I gave myself too many fucking breaks, okay?
Ooh, yeah.
Look at this body, okay? This is because of all the breaks I took.
Yeah, you might have overdid it there. But,
yeah,
you know, you're doing something about it. You know, today you got your ass up, and you got yourself to the gym.
I've been trying to get into the gym with you for a while now, though. Mm-hmm. And really, this kind of goes to, like, what I was telling Scott is that, you know, because I'm not able to, I probably could still try and go do some stuff with fighting, MMA, boxing, whatever, you know, if I put my focus to it. Honestly, right. I believe, and I think that's with a lot of people, you know, a lot of people have a lot of capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think everybody's just like, don't get me wrong. I think that it's awesome whenever you find people who have that one thing that they shine at. You know what I'm saying? And then they take to it. And then they want that. And they continuously do it. That's kind of like, for me, I feel like I've always been, you know, I've been more than a one-trick pony. So my attention, I'm almost like a goldfish. I'm like here, I'm there. I'm, you know, every time I turn around, you know, I've always got something different going on. And it's not like it's bad because I do well at those things.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's just because personally, I don't know. Anything to say on that? Because I don't know why I'm like that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I find something and I get so involved in it. And, like, for the longest time, music was my life.
Right.
After that, MMA, fighting, boxing, that was my life. And that consumed, like, I'll become consumed with these things for years at a time. And I'm like, dude, this is my path. This is my goal. I love this.
Right.
And don't get me wrong. Like, at the time, I do truly feel like it. Like, and I still, even now, this goes back to what I was saying about, like, how, because I'm not able to do this stuff, like, I at least want to pass it on to you. And that's just as good as you going off and doing it.
Yeah.
It's that thing that, like, it's something that I've always loved. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I found that love later on in life. Like, you know what it is? I think it's because back whenever we were kids, our mom told us that the only way I was ever going to make it in life as if I played football.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, and I hated that.
Jeez,
at the time, and honestly, I wasn't really even that big into football. Right. I liked it. You know, I liked it because I played with my friends and I was good at it. but I didn't really enjoy it. You know what right. I mean?
Yeah, and I see that, man. I mean, you know, with you have multiple talents. You can do a lot, and you put your time and effort into it like you're just crunching it all in.
Yeah.
You know, and that is overwhelming.
Yeah.
So, like, really, if you're going to be consistent with something and, like, really start to, you know, fall in love with it because you want to do it every day, you got to set time out. You know, you got to have that dedicated time.
Yeah.
Because if you want to make something out of it and you want to make some money off of it,
right,
which you could absolutely do, you know, you really have to organize things to where, you know, you have this hour in a yeah. day to really focus on your craft.
I think it's that thing where you know, if you look at people, you see the people that are in the positions that they're in is because they took their passion
mm-hmm.
and they did the best that they could with that, and they found outlets for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And once they found outlets for it, like, the world was theirs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's kind of what I'm trying to find is that, like, yeah, I'm good at certain things and I've done certain things, but, like, you know, I've got to find my true passion.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, you know, I love this. I love what, because this is what I've always done. You know what right. I mean? This comedy thing, I've always done. Ian, I've talked to old friends and I was like, hey man, you know, I'm doing this stuff and whatever. They're like, oh my God, that's awesome. Because, you know, you've always had a knack for comedy. You've always done impressions and all this other stuff. So, you know, I'm glad that, you know, you're finding that. And that, to me, kind of makes me realize, like, dude, maybe I've always had this in me and maybe I've always wanted this.
Yeah.
But it's something that I've never said out loud, and it's not something that I've never really thought of, because, you know, I've never pictured myself in those positions. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'll be honest with you, growing up, I don't know if you remember, like, even whenever we were living here, that I used to watch a lot of comedy specials. Like, that, the Comedy Central, I would be up late night watching Comedy Central, watching the special. Dave Chappelle,
God, dude.
Joe Coy. Dude, Joe Coy, like, back in the day, I loved Joe Coy. I didn't even know who he was later on. Like, I was like, man, who was that guy? There was the dude who used to do, you know, talk about his mom, and, you know, he was the Filipino and blah, blah, blah. And later on, I found him. I was like, that was the dude. And I always thought he was hilarious. Like, there's so many inspirations that I had growing up. And just, like, our family in general, you know, we've kind of always been kind of on the funny, like, we enjoy having a good time.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So, like, whenever we, like, growing up, we would always, we would watch movies. Even to this day, we still, you know, we'll do that whole thing, like, what movie is this from? And it's like,
name that movie.
Yeah, name that movie. And we'll come up with a random saying and we'll do it in that voice or whatever. And like, you know, we're spot on with that. So right. like, that's all that stuff kind of accumulates. And like, it makes me realize, like, dude, maybe I've been doing this my whole life because it was waiting for me to get to this point. Maybe obviously, like, I do wish I'd started sooner and younger, but at the time, you know, that was never really the thought. That was never, hell, I didn't know there was any place around here that you could do it. You know what I mean?
I definitely feel like we're late bloomers for sure. But that's, like, also just because we had a, you know, lack of guidance and we didn't really know what we should be thinking or, you know, how we should go about doing things. And, you know, that's all right.
I think that from growing up, like what you're talking about, like that guidance, we've kind of always just been told that you grow up, you take care of the family.
Yeah.
That's number one. And I mean, that still sticks to heart for me. And I know for you, you know, I that's all of us really, you know, we always try and take care of our family and we always try and take care of one another.
Yeah, no doubt.
So it's, I think that definitely because of that, which it's not like it's a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Don't get me wrong. If I didn't have that guidance, like, I don't know what kind of father I would be. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad I'm the father that I am.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? So that's absolutely. That's one thing. But, yeah, as far as everything else, as far as following your passions, your dreams and everything, you know, we never really, no one ever really told us to go for it. You know, yeah, like I said,
yeah, right.
You know, mom telling me that the only way I was ever going to make anything of myself is through football.
God, like, dude, that's fucking, that's heartbreaking.
You really never heard that?
No, I'd never heard that, dude.
Dude, that, for, and, you know, I don't hold it, I don't hold anything against our parents at all. But that one for me, that one always kind of hurt. Because I was like, you know, I was always into music and into drama. I was in theater and I, like, she never came to any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hell, she didn't even come to any wrestling matches. She would occasionally go to the football stuff.
Yeah.
Like, in high school, she didn't really go to a lot of the football stuff. But whenever she did, the only reason she – I found out later on by another parent, a close friend who I consider, like, a second, third, or fourth mother. Like, I've got a couple of those people in my life that are, like, second, third, fourth mothers.
Right, right.
You know, because they've kind of always taken me under their wing and stuff and – they thought of me like a second child and everything.
Right, no doubt.
But it's because, you know, they ended up telling me, it's like, dude, she never paid attention. The only time she ever paid attention is whenever your name came over that intercom and she would cheer and, you know, she would say, That's my son. Yeah, and but beyond that, it's like, you know, you didn't even pay attention. You know, you didn't see what your son did.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
Well, either way you look at it, man, you can look at it, you know, glass half empty or half full.
We're here now, dude.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. I don't care.
I mean, other than that, I feel like we just weren't challenged enough. I mean, especially whenever it comes to creativity and happiness, because now I'm starting to find that. And I've had these jobs before in the oil field, and it's just so detrimental to my happiness because I'm not going anywhere with it.
Yeah.
This is stagnant. I'm not doing anything with my creativity. I'm not, you know, pursuing my passion.
Yeah.
And I never really started to, you know, feel that and, like, have those thoughts until I was like, you know, this is really not working out for me here in the oil field. So I want to get out.
And just on that note, it's nothing against anybody that does do that and that find joy in that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As long as you find joy in your work, all good and well.
Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? No doubt.
So that's that. I mean, to me, I think that's like one of the things that obviously will help keep you happy in life is, like, you find joy in your work.
Yeah, you absolutely. Know? And, you know, whenever you're in that position too, I mean, you know, you're doing it either for you or for somebody. You know, whenever it comes to making money, I know you got to put food on the table.
Right.
You know, there's definitely that aspect. And, you know, you might think in your head that you're compromised, but seriously, like I said, putting in your focus onto things and, like, passions and stuff that you love to do, like I said, man, you can make money off of that, like, just like with here with doing the podcast. I mean, your creativeness is, like, it's so genius because you're a man of many talents, like, you know, whenever it comes to music, whenever it comes to art, you know, comedy, etc. Man, I mean, you're in all those type of fields and avenues. And, you know, whenever I think that's where I kind of branched off you as well, because, you know, you kind of took me along with for the ride with, you know, at USA Stars and and some other things and doing the pod, you know. so I see that in me too, and I absolutely love to do that, man. Like, and I want to make some money off of it,
because,
you know, now it's getting to this point to where I got to start making some money, and I know now that I want to be a millionaire, multimillionaire, doing things that I absolutely love to do, and I'm absolutely going to do that. I have every intentions to do so, and like I was trying to get at with your comedy and how you are need to, like, critique yourself in a way. It's really, you know, getting in that zone of you imaging how you want everything to play out. You know, it's kind of like the law of attraction.
Yeah.
Really seeing how you want things to go and have every move that you're going to make and, you know, predict that outcome.
Right.
You know, so that's one of the good ways of practicing, like, how you want things to go and how you want to see it afterwards, you know, whenever you're actually in those moments. Because I do that all the time.
Yeah.
And it's going to play out. It's going to absolutely play out whenever I really start, you know, I'm going to be riding up to Golds, and I'm not going to laugh at anybody or anything or look down upon people, but I'm absolutely going to let them know, you know, I told you I was going to do this and I did it.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things.
I think, you know, looking back, there was a certain point in my life where I was like, dude, you know, our family, just in general, our family, like, I don't know if it's because we're, I don't think it's because we're messed up, but we all have like a funny bone, you know what I'm saying? And there are, just in general, there's like something that I think we have, and even a lot of our friends, you know, they, like Eli, you know, he always tells me, he's like, dude, I love everyone in your family. You guys are fucking awesome, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I think that's fucking awesome. And I think that in general, like, so going back to what I was saying is I, at one point was like, dude, I think that all of us are going to make it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be something that we find, because all of us are definitely, we are, not motivated, but we all have that thing that we want something out of this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we have a particular drive.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's something, you know, in general, a lot of people don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's because they're clouded with a lot of other things. You know, life just in general, you know.
Right.
Which it's, again, this goes back to that deal. Like, if you're happy where you're at, by all means, like, I'm not over here trying to say that, like, anything that we're doing is so mega fucking awesome and anything that you're doing is stupid because,
right,
you know,
right,
it's not going to get you anywhere and whatever. But I'm, like, you know, I think that, like, as long as you're happy, you know, do it.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know what it was that I wish I could remember, because at one point I was like, dude, we're all on a good track. We're all going to be there. You know, we just have to a little bit longer, you know, and we're going to be there.
Yeah, we got to face a little more adversity.
And that was a couple of years ago. So
oh,
we've had a couple of downs since then. So, but, you know.
But, you know, whenever we rise above, you know, I feel like that's really where we're going to get some momentum from. And it's just going to be all that much easier, you know, in going after whatever we have in mind. Which I've got a lot of things in mind, but I really have to make sure that I'm staying with one thing and being consistent with it, you know, making some money off of it, you know, with training, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, then there's different avenues that I want to go down and make money off of mixed martial arts. I absolutely do feel like that I have the potential to make it big.
Yeah.
I
think, like, if you've listened to any people who are successful, and this, I think I said this a little bit earlier, but don't do it for the money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Do it because it makes you happy and the money will follow. Like, that's kind of something that, like, successful people have always said is like, you know, well, I got into it because, you know, I just loved it. I wanted to start this deal up. And, you know, like Mark Bell, you know, he had literally nothing and he went and opened up a gym and he was like, I'm doing this because I want to do this.
Yeah.
And he was flat ass broke. Like, him and his wife were struggling. And, you know, like, he's a success story that I fucking love, because it's like, dude, you know, he literally had nothing. He came from, like, he was at the point where he had, like, I want to say $3 in his pocket. The Rock says the same thing. You know, he had like $8 in his pocket. You know, there's those
shit,
stories.
That's like a daily thing.
You know what I'm saying? Like, homie, do I got to get broke to get happy? Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Let me walk around with like $2 in my pocket and I'm going to find happiness somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, do it because it makes you happy, you know? And then, like I said, that money will come.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and this is kind of also the same thing that applies to me, is that, like, this applies to a lot of people. Everybody's scared about the jump. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
We get to the edge of the cliff and we're looking over, we see the water, and we see where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But that, it's that jump that's scary.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Taking risks.
Like,
yeah,
but just that leap of faith and hope that you're going to land where you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the scariest thing, but, you know, they say that at the end of it, you know, because of those jumps, they are where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And without that, they wouldn't have gone there.
Absolutely.
So,
and, you know, you might not jump on your first try. You might not, the next time you go at it, you might take that jump and you might fail. But the biggest thing is getting back up and trying it again.
Yeah.
You know, even if you You know, you might go broke. You know, that's a total possibility. But as long as you have in your mind the place that you want to go and do the things that you want to do because you have such a passion for, it'll get there.
Yeah.
It'll absolutely get there.
Yeah.
You just have to have every intentions on, you know, playing it out how you want it to play out.
Yeah. I think, you know, that metaphor of jumping off the cliff, you know, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And once you, it's kind of, it's scary to take the leap. You take that leap and then you're falling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're putting yourself into it. And then as soon as you hit the water, you taste a little bit of success.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then it seems like you go down past the water, not past the water, but you go further into the water. And at some point you seem like you're drowning, but you start floating back up almost, you know, not long after.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of like a beautiful metaphor for it.
Oh, yeah, because absolutely.
then you're treading water. Then you're, you know, you're where you want to be. You're having fun. You know, you're doing your thing and you're glad that fucking leap was scary as hell. And you didn't know where you didn't know whether or not your lungs are going to get filled with water and you're going to sink to the bottom or you're going to come to the top.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in that moment, you know, you ride it out and that it'll rise. I think it always works itself out in the end.
Yeah.
You know, you
actually went in a different direction than I was actually thinking.
My bad.
No. I mean, that's good. My way of thinking actually was kind of the opposite. Was you take this risk and you dive off of the cliff and, you know, it's easier now, and you know it wasn't as bad as you thought just jumping off, and that's kind of where you evolve into a you take on this form of a bird and then just fly up, man, and that's kind of where I was going with it. You know, we have highs and lows, but you never crash down all the way. I mean, because you could die, mm-hmm. you know, from a pretty big cliff. Just saying.
What the fuck? That wasn't even close. Like, homie, are we Transformers? Are we Animorphs?
Metamorphs.
Where we turn? No, is that's
what? Metamorph. Metamorphers. Yep.
I thought it was Animorphs.
Nah.
No.
Metamorpher.
The books with the
Okay. And they had the show. Yeah.
I don't know if did they have a show?
Yeah, they had a show. I fucking love that show, dude.
Yeah.
Loved it. I think that's where I'm getting.
I love
this
that movie. I love that show. Beetleborgs, homie, what up?
Dang, that was the old one. Jesus, man.
That's how old I am. I remember Beetleborgs.
Yeah, that and the Power Rangers, classic.
Yeah,
but you know, either way you look at it, there's still that huge leap of faith that you have to go with. You know, you got to go with the flow, and you know, there's going to be hard times. You know, you can face this adversity head on, or you know, you can just let life pound you until you know you get to the point to where you know,
we got to start working on your terminology, bro.
Oh. Why is that?
Well, because whenever your life's just pounding you and pounding you. I mean,
sorry, dude. I just went back to that memory of fucking. I was on the ground and you're fucking. I was totally compromised today at jiu-jitsu, man. Rolling around.
Oh man, that shit is hilarious. I beyond anything. Like I seriously wish. I wish we had the GoPro on that
one. Yeah, no doubt.
Like, that one, like, just posting that little clip. That shit was hilarious.
Yeah, probably wouldn't post that.
I would. And then at the end there, like, whenever I took you and rolled you backwards and then, you know, got on top and I was just like, I fucking got you now. And Scott thought that was funny, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you a good old country ass whooping. You know, I might. I'm telling you, man. I might not have the energy or the stamina or the conditioning. Shit, we went. This guy, he's got conditioning for fucking days. Okay, and it's fucking annoying because like he doesn't. He never realizes who his training partner is. I get that he always wants to push you. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, dude, slow up. Let me breathe. I hadn't worked out in like 6 months. Mm-hmm. I hadn't done any kind of conditioning. I hadn't done shit. You know what I'm saying? And I get in there today. I was like, you know, let's go around. We'll roll around. We'll do this and this and that and everything. We start doing that. And then I don't know how long we rolled for the first time. but it probably felt like five minutes or so.
Probably 5 minutes. We were, yeah, it was pretty good.
And duration. I was like gassed, and I was like, okay, I got to submit you real quick because, dude, I can't breathe. And then I even told you, like, dude, my lungs are on fire. Jeez, bro, I'm telling you, like, I hadn't done shit in forever.
Right. And, you know, that's actually, like, really hard for me to do is, you know, ease up on people. Yeah. Because I like to push it, man. I like to start, like, really, really
that's
yelling at people.
Something that you can start working on.
I like to take my anger out on my clients for sure, man.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm having a bit bad day, you know, you're about to feel
this workout.
Damn,
that's fucked up, dude. That's not good advertisement. Yeah, sorry, guys, he was kidding. He's gonna take it real nice and easy on you.
Oh god,
he's working with a 70-year-old man. He's like, come on, old man, fucking push it. I need 100 more sit-ups. I can't do it anymore.
But yeah, I definitely see that, and I need to slow up a little bit, because I keep on getting people that are saying, like, you know what, this is probably gonna be my last session with you.
Do they really?
Yeah, well, it, in forms of that, they're like, you know, I'm probably gonna cancel my membership or my training sessions, and they're totally just kidding. But I've gotten that so often, like from multiple people, I'm like, you know, there's kind of a trend here, and I wonder what elements of truth are actually there.
But and again, though, it's in that moment. You know what I mean? Excuse me. Man, I'm so sick and tired of saying excuse me. I'm so sick and tired of having coughs and all this other shit. Anyway, so, like, it's probably because, like, in that moment, like, when, like I said, whenever I was fucking dying, I was like, dude, I don't want to do this anymore. Somebody give me some oxygen. I can't breathe. But, like, in those moments, like, it's hell. But, like, once I got done, I was like, dude, you know, I'm glad I did it. And I had a little bit of fun. And I felt like, you know, we got to teach. I got a couple of teachable moments for you and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's all about that work that you put in. And even though, you know, he says he didn't break a sweat. He was glistening. Okay. Yeah, don't even lie.
For a cool second there, I had a good sweat going on, but
yeah, I was sweating the entire fucking time. I like kept going over it. Like, there was a break where somebody called me, and I was like, "Thank God!" So, and like I kept going back and forth because I was also wearing a hoodie.
Yeah,
you know, trying to get a little bit of sweat going. I'm like, man, that was a fucking stupid ass idea. But I was wearing a hoodie, and I kept going over to the paper towels, getting me paper towels, and like patting myself down. And as soon as I think I'm dry, like, not even a second later, it's like just covered my face. I'm like, shit.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, you gotta love it, man. I mean, I love getting fucking sweaty, man. And most of the times, like back whenever I was a housekeeper at Gold's Gym, like I would do my workouts. I would try not to sweat because, you know, I still gotta be here for a cool minute. But now that I'm a trainer and I kind of pick my own schedule, I sweat my ass off, and I make sure that I'm in that sauna, you know, really sweating everything out. So yeah, man, I mean, that's a part of it. I'm fucking loving it, and you feel more accomplished, you know.
Yeah, like I said, it's definitely something that in the moment it sucks, but like afterwards you feel good because, you know, you came out, you got a sweat on, and you know but definitely I mean it's funny because I used to, whenever I would work out at Anytime Fitness, there's a couple of trainers over there, and you know, I would pass by, they're training somebody, and I'm like, oh shit, Brady's got his, you know, he's torching you today, you know, or what you doing for your torture session? Like, I always call it a torture session or something like that, you know, and just because, you know, that stuff, don't get me wrong, like at a certain point, like when you're starting out, you do need like some mobility, you do need to kind of ease yourself into it,
right?
You know, and obviously you're not going to try and throw somebody completely to the wolves where they can't hang, but you know, it's that it's because eventually you get to the point where you need this, so that way, you know, you can get better. You know, that's the only way you get better is, and that's kind of just like through anything, is you have to go through the forges, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
But the biggest thing is we got in there, we moved around, we got something done, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for me it wasn't really it was challenging throwing you around, for sure.
Yeah, damn right it was. You best recognize. Look. And I told you before, and other people have told you. You know, I feel, and I don't want to say this because I don't like to brag about myself, and for me it's just weird. But and it's weird whenever other people brag about me, like Scott was doing today, and I was like, you know, he was like hyping me up a little bit. I was like, dude, chill. I don't feel like I was that good, but you know, it made me feel good.
Right.
But still, you know, I like, you know, even Coach Kendrick and Sensei Pat will tell you, you know, like a lot of people kind of have the same stories. Like this dude, you know, he's good, he's a beast, and blah blah blah, and you know, so I it's kind of the same thing that happened last night. Like I kind of wanted to come in and show you what's up, but and you know, I did get some laughs. I did get you in some compromising positions, and I did, you know, have my way with you, and I you know what I'm saying, but at the same time, like it wasn't near what I was wanting or expecting or hoping for, but you know, that's all part of it.
Yeah,
then it's all good,
no doubt. Yeah, we still got it in, man, and it was fun. We had fun doing it.
Yeah,
so I mean, and if you we can
learned,
make this daily,
I would like to say that you learned. I think that it's more that, you know, we didn't get to drill, and it was more kind of I felt like I was trying to actually just open your mind up to different things. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, obviously whenever you're not taught stuff, then you don't think about stuff this a certain way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's all I was trying to do was get you to start thinking about different things.
Yeah.
Get you to start, you know, seeing, oh, okay, I see what he's saying here. You know, right. And
that keep that in your helps.
Mind. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. You know, because whenever I'm in there, you know, I'm just thinking, I'm go with the flow. You know, I don't really have any particular strategy except to, you know, hit you and submit you. But aside from that, you know, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So it really is good to have a coach that can be there and, you know, walk you through it. You know, that's kind of where my app is coming from. I mean, I've had a lot of inspiration on getting this off the ground. And, you know, if it's going to happen eventually, you know, once I find those people, the right people to make it all happen.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen. There's no doubt in my mind that it's not. But other than that, you know, I really appreciate you coaching me today. So
for sure. I'm glad you got something out of it.
Yeah. Switching the roles, man.
Yeah. But, nah. Man,
we're going to make a routine out of it though.
Yeah.
You're going to be my coach and, you know,
Like I said, and I mean, hell, if I could pretty much quit my full-time job and do this stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, all the stuff that I've got going on right now, if I could do that fucking forever, dude, I'd be, be fucking awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. Just make it happen.
Coaching and, you know, maybe even if I get in shape, maybe get back out there. But, you know, that's not, like I said, for me, that's just not the focus.
Right, right.
Like, even if I did get down to that point, I think I would want to do it just because it's something that I've always wanted to do. You know, and that kind of goes back to the other podcast whenever we was talking. And I told you that, like, I told Grammy that this is what I was going to make happen and all that stuff. So,
yeah, no doubt.
Like, even just having my foot step in the cage one time, like, I'd be fine with that. Although it's kind of hard to be funny and punch people in the face at the same time.
Yeah, you definitely got to go with one or the other. Cause
yeah.
there's no middle ground there.
Yeah. I mean, look at Brendan.
Anyways,
look at Brendan Schauberts, you know.
Yeah, true, true.
Brandon Showers, Brendan Sherbert, or whatever his name is. Nah.
Nice.
But
other than that, just a little recap. On things that you want to do, make a plan, stick to the plan, and always deliver. Daniel signing out.
All right, guys. Well, that was our podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed. It's been another episode of Irritable Mouths. We'll catch you later.